I thought I'd start off today by giving you kind of my own testimonial and telling you a little bit about my conversion experience. It was not easy because for years I have been a habitual user of the Xbox 360, but for this next generation I have got to go PlayStation 4. I mean, it's cheaper. The system specs are better, it has a better indie game lineup, it did better at E3. It's time to make the change over. And on top of that, I've kind of got everything all set up for it already. I'm a hoarder of gift cards, so I've got a stack of them like this. I won't have to pay a penny for it when I finally do get it, because I've been sitting on these gift cards now for years. There's only one problem with completing my conversion over. I can't find the things. I mean, you go to the mall, and you'll see signs up at GameSpot saying that they've got Xbox Ones in stock, but you'll never find anything for the PS4 because it's completely sold out. I can't even find a PS4 on Amazon. They are simply not out there. And that is a frustrating feeling. Because here I've got absolutely everything that I need all set and prepared for me to get the PlayStation 4, and yet I don't get to enjoy any of its benefits. Had to get Assassin's Creed 4 on the 360 like a caveman. I don't get any of the benefits despite having all of my ducks in a row and everything all prepared. We kind of talk sometimes about our faith in a similar way, and the benefits that we get from it. All of that is sort of out in a distant future. We've got everything set up right now, but for the time being, we don't get to enjoy any of the blessings. We're just having to wait. Let's take a look at our text today and see what it says about the blessings that wait for us in heaven. It's taken from Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 1. We'll read from verses 13 and 14. I'd ask that you please rise. In him being Christ, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who's the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Please be seated. Okay, so, looking at this text here, we have our answer. Life might be very, very difficult. It might be full of suffering. But don't worry, because someday you'll die. All right, amen. Let's pass the offering plate. That is how we sometimes tend to think about our faith. I mean, don't get me wrong here. I'm not trying to poo-poo the gift of heaven. That's absolutely fantastic. And in the face of life's absolute worst trial, it's going to be of great benefit. I mean, there will be a day where I am on my deathbed, or where you're on the road on Madison Avenue behind the wheel, or where you're facing down an angry mob of students after midterms, and you will be grateful to know that in a minute or two following your demise, you will have all of the benefits of heaven. When we face our last moment, this promise of an inheritance is absolutely fantastic. But the fact of the matter is, I just don't go around all the time obsessing about my imminent demise. It pops up occasionally, but I have concerns in the here and now, and thoughts of death oftentimes aren't haunting my every waking moment. But you know what? The fact that I can regard my mortality so cavalierly, to some extent, that's a gift right there that I have in the here and now. Because by all rights, we ought to be obsessing about our approaching death. You know, if you look at our text here, it talks about our inheritance. It gives us financial terms. It talks about how it's a guarantee, how we've been sealed. But throughout the rest of Scripture, there are a lot of texts that also use financial terms that talk about exactly what it is that we have earned, such as the wages of sin is death. When you look at the cross, you see what it is that we have earned, what we deserve for the kind of people that we are. When I look at the cross, it's a mixed thing. On the one hand, you see the horror of what it is that you actually should have faced at the end of your life. You see why it should have been you who was concerned about the end of your life. But at the same time, I see the reason that I don't need to be terrified of the end of my life. We end up getting an amazingly good deal out of it, and so immediately we're confronted with how brazenly and quickly we start to look back and lack appreciation for what we have, for having the punishments we deserve removed. Look again at how Paul talks about this to the Ephesians. He talks about future blessings. You will acquire possession of an inheritance. He also talks about the past, when you came to faith. You were sealed, and he talks about the present, that the Holy Spirit is your guarantee right now. There's a certain tension, a paradox that exists as Christians, because all of the blessings of heaven have already been won for us. They've been paid for. They are effectively yours right now, thanks to Jesus Christ. But on the other hand, you don't have them yet. We have the already, and we have the not yet. But even those things we haven't acquired can have a pretty profound impact on the struggles and troubles that we face right now. They empower us to laugh at practically any problem that we can think of, just using what it is that we hold in our hands, as the text says, the Holy Spirit and what He delivers, Christ. If your health is failing, if your health is nearly gone, but you still are clinging to Christ, you have more health than you have ever had in your entire life because you're immortal, thanks to Christ. If you've gone completely penniless and you've gone into debt, and I know all of you are because you're sitting here at Bethany and it's a college and that's what happens, but clinging to Christ, you have all the riches in the world, more than it could ever hope to offer you, because you have the wealth of heaven. Maybe you're struggling in classes, but clinging to Christ, you have more wisdom than Bill Nye the Science Guy, because the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom. If we have relationship problems, you know, people move away, or we fight and become estranged, or they die, but clinging to Christ, you're part of a bigger and better family than you could ever know here in this world, because you belong to the family of all believers. And our friends and family have the same guarantee from God extended to them as well, that through faith there is a reunion in a place where there is no departure, and where there is no goodbye, and where there is no death. Clinging to Christ, we have eternity with even our loved ones. I don't have my PlayStation 4 yet, and so I don't get to enjoy any of the benefits that it would confer. We are not dead yet, but clinging to Christ, we already have in our hands a tremendous part of our inheritance. We have Christ and His Holy Spirit, and through them, the strength and the endurance to face any trial that this world can throw at us and go through it with joy. We can face a difficult life until the day that we claim all the benefits that God paid for. Amen.